Hello, everyone, and welcome to Natural Geekery, a podcast about tabletop role-playing games and why we like them so darn much. We interview folks, we talk to game creators, we also have an actual play, and we just sort of bask in the glow of our love of tabletop role-playing games. So welcome aboard. My name's Brian. I'll be your host for the show and for what is to come down the road. We're back after a bit of a break. My last show that I put together, I believe, was in October of 2022. It was an interview show. We had just launched season three. We had some big things happening and big hopes. And then real life came calling. And yeah, I needed to take a break. I absolutely needed to step away from things. And the break was really, really good. And with this episode, I am happy to announce that we are rolling again. And we will be rolling for the foreseeable future. We'll be having shows out every 2 weeks. And they will be intermixed with interview shows and our actual play set in the world of Drachenfeld that we created in season two. And it's a really exciting time because I have another announcement, which I'll get to here shortly. There's just a lot of things moving, and I'm glad to get the show back up and out for people to enjoy. So I want to thank everyone for their patience and understanding as we took a bit of a break. Tonight's interview is with a role player who is part of a troupe for a game called Darkness Over New Orleans, and that game is on Twitch on Thursday nights. I believe it's from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is hosted by my buddy Dylan on his channel, Roll for Dylan. That's roll number four, Dylan, and the link will be down in the show notes if you want to check it out. And he came to me, approached me with the idea of interviewing his cast with a video interviews that he could then use on his Twitch stream. And in talking, we agreed that I could also use them as podcast interviews. And so I got permission from him to go ahead and post these interviews as we kick things off here again. And so tonight's interview is with Christian, also known as a Fluffy Goomba. And he is one of the players in that game. And we talk about that game a little bit. And we talk about his love of role playing and how he got started and just all that jazz, right? I think you will really enjoy it. And the next three interview shows after this will also be continuation of this series where we talk to the players of the game. So a couple things to note is that these were done a little while ago. And so we do talk about I think we mentioned the whole WotC Hasbro fiasco that came up. I think that's briefly mentioned at the beginning of the interview. I think that's the only timely thing that comes up in all of the interviews at one point or another. The WotC thing was a hot topic at that point in time. It still is, actually, but not as hot as it was. So that's the only thing to note there. I think you're really going to enjoy the interview. And then as far as announcements, so one of the things that happened was as we were building this Game Hack, it's a game system it's a powered by the apocalypse game system that is a fantasy hack that we created in sort of the vein, sort of like Monster of the Week. And we put it together and we've been putting it together for, I think, over a year now. And we did play tests of that. And we had a series of play tests that we really, really enjoyed. And we enjoyed them so much that we added two more people to our cast, and we're going to do a continuing Twitch game that will be streamed live on the Natural Geekery channel on Twitch. That link will also be down in the show notes. And if you're listening and you can't get to the show notes, that is just going to be twitch.tv/Natural Geekery. And I will have the videos there, as well as trying to transport the videos over to YouTube so you can see them there as a video on demand. And catch up if you're not able to catch the show live. We're very excited about this. We're going to have a full table. This will be my first time kind of stepping into a full-fledged GM role in a while, so I'm excited about that. And it'll be set in our world of Drachenfeld, which we created in season two. And yeah, the Twitch game starts tonight, the same day. Wow, what a coincidence. The same day that this relaunch starts. April 12th. How bizarre. It'll be 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10. We're going to do session zero. We're going to meet the cast. We're going to talk about the game and just sort of just have a relaxed session zero as we get all the players in one place and start to move the story forward. And I expect that to be a ton of fun. We will be playing every 2 weeks on Wednesday nights. So that's the big announcement that we're really excited about. And then the patrons on our Patreon will be getting the playtest sessions that we recorded. They will be getting those on the Patreon in the next couple weeks. Episode one of that will drop there. And then more, we will continue the Wildest Plus podcast story with Hazo and Luden, with an episode of some actual plays. That will hopefully be coming up in the next few weeks as well. So there's a lot coming. And it's very exciting. I think I've said exciting way too much and I've overdone the word, so I'm going to try not to use it again, but that's all the announcements I have. And I'm going to actually shift over to our interview and let you guys listen into that. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for being a part of this. And, yeah, thanks for being patient. I'm glad to be back and I'm glad to be sharing this podcast with everybody again. So with that being said, let's get into our interview with Christian. I am joined by Christian, aka a Fluffy Goomba or Goomba, and he is one of the players on Darkness Over New Orleans, a Twitch stream hosted by Roll for Dylan, or my buddy Dylan, on Twitch. And this is a part of a series of interviews I am doing with his amazing cast that is on that show. Welcome, Christian. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I really am honored to be here.
Cool. Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're gonna have a little chat about role-playing games. I hear you like them.
I'm a fan. I've been known to be a fan of them. Yeah.
Awesome. Kick us off just right off the bat. Like, tell us a little bit about yourself, just so folks can get to know you, what you do, whatever you want, feel like sharing, and we'll go from there.
Hi, my name is Christian. I am, we're gonna do this road like dating game style. I'm 29 years old, like long walks on the beach, go to my local Barnes & Noble and check out the books. Hi, I am Christian McKenzie. I'm a Twitch streamer, amateur stand-up comedian, TTRPG enthusiast, and I love the game, and I really want to pursue it in a professional manner. Especially awesome. This year, I think this year when I want to really try to make some strides in the community itself, despite its current condition.
Oh man! Yeah, I was. I didn't put that in the list of questions, but maybe we'll touch on that a little bit.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, because of my history with it, it's fascinating to me what's happening. So I love to talk. I've chatted about it with my home group quite a bit.
Sure.
Cool. So stand-up comedian, amateur stand-up comedian?
Yes, very amateur. One or two shows.
Okay. So how long have you been, just something recently in the past year or two?
No, this is 5 or 6 years. I haven't done it since like 2 years before the pandemic.
Okay.
So I'm more interested in working in the TTRPG space and community, either as like a producer or I'm trying to GM in the future. I'm playing in a lot of games online to just broaden my horizon for both people, friends, as well as systems, because that I think that's a big component of the Twitch TTRPG space. Is it's a big playground to be like, here's everyone showcasing every game or as many games as possible, not just the cool slide that's around there, but every other game, like Pathfinder, your Power Rangers, your Vampire the Masquerades, et cetera.
Oh yeah, it's a I say this often, it is an amazing time to be a geek and a gamer right now. There's just so many avenues. There's so much going on. And it's heartening to me to see when I do get on the Twitch RPG streams that it's not just D&D. D&D has been, you know, there's a large chunk of it, but that's always been the case.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wide range of all sorts of wonder.
Yeah.
And fun. So that's cool. I was going to ask what you, when you said you wanted to get into it in a professional manner. So like when you say like producing, you're just trying to get your name out there, right? You're just trying to get out there as a player and as a GM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not a big GM. Like I've never had that kind of organization in my mind, but I have started to delve into it. Okay. And like I did GM for the first time last year. On Twitch, and so that was an experience and a half.
Okay, I'm gonna make a note. I want to go back to that.
Sure.
This is a question I ask everyone first time out,
right.
Or not question, but just a chance to tell us your origin story. Like, how did you get into role playing games? What was your first game?
Mm.
How'd you start? What led you into the summer fields of this hobby?
I think for me, it didn't even start with TTRPGs. It started with just RPGs.
Okay.
Specifically JRPGs, where I started with games like Final Fantasy and games like obscure games like Okage, Shadow King, and not so obscure games like Skies of Arcadia, and just playing those games and seeing what adventure looks like visually.
Yeah.
And going like, I wish I could do that. I wish I could play in that.
Mm.
And then like as a kid growing up, you play imagination on the playground, you play things like Power Rangers or He-Man or any like kind of show you've seen. You're like, I want to play, pretend to be that character and act out during the lunchtime. And then that just kind of like goes away naturally, or kind of like just naturally goes away for a while.
Right.
And then I think for a lot of like modern day, I'm gonna put that in quotation marks, modern day TTRPG fans, Critical Role is that like opening door again of like, look at these people playing a game professionally. Cause I'd always heard of Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons was a thing I'd heard of, but I never had like any like interest in it personally or friends who were interested in it. So I couldn't like convince them to do that and like go out and buy books while we were all trying to study for like tests and playing video games. Cause that was the end thing.
Right. Right.
And like, but once I started watching Critical Role and I saw a bunch of the voice actors I knew from video games I played, I was like, okay, all right. This seems easy. This seems like not as complicated or cumbersome as I thought it was in my mind. And then you pick up your first book and you go, oh, okay, this isn't complicated. This is pretty streamlined. Okay. And then you go on your first adventure. And like, this is great. I want more of this.
Yeah. I need more in my life.
Exactly. Then like 10, 12 years later, you're like, oh man, I need something new. And so you start to branch out.
And right.
Now we're here.
So was Critical Role, like, was it the thing that gelled you to pick up the dice, so to speak? Or had you played previously at all?
Fun fact, the first RPG, a TTRPG I ever played was not, in fact, Critical Role. Despite the fact that I wanted to play D&D first, my first TTRPG was actually Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader. With a group of players who had no idea how that worked. So it was a scramble to figure out how the system worked, how to make characters, how to play, what the consequences were for games. Because, like, I was told early on that, like, Rogue Trader, like, your character will die so quickly, so easily. Like, and I was like, that's not the kind of game I really want to play. And I want to have an adventure where my character lives for at least a while, not, like, have to be in danger every single session.
Mm-hmm.
But I like, luckily, again, quotation marks, the game died.
Uh-huh.
And I was still on the hunt for D&D. And so I went to, like, Roll20. On their forums, and I was just looking for games, random games to play, and like every game I played, like, either like sputtered out or died,
right?
And like I just couldn't find a long form campaign for the life of me, so I'm like wandering from land to land.
Oh, you were in the wasteland.
I was in the wasteland. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I know that well. Yeah,
you know, I wasn't in a long term campaign until like 2021. or okay. yeah, 2021, where I started streaming my game, or my game started getting streamed on Twitch, which is on now, which is on Total Party Kiss, Tragedy Theologian. So that's my first like ever long standing campaign where I'm like actually being able to play every week or so.
Right.
Like it feels so fulfilling.
Yeah.
And like I feel like that's an aspect of being a TTRPG player where it's like I get to hang out with my friends and tell a story every week or every 2 weeks and just get to build. And I think building is so important as well as schedule. Building with friends is the glue that keeps that together.
Yeah, no, it's something I akin to a theatrical troupe. If you work with a group of people over several different shows or even one long show that has a long, you know, a long run time over the course of several weeks or even months, you form bonds that are really hard to describe to people that aren't in theater. And it's the same with TTRPGs in that you form bonds with people that are really hard to explain except to other role players, right? Like you'll run a game, you'll be in a game, you have things happen that you never saw coming. It's the alchemy. It's the magic alchemy I think we're all looking for.
Yes. I think that's a thing I'm so happy with this streaming TTRPG space was that it did give me a group of friends. It did give me a group, a troop to play with finally after a decade of not having that. And like it finally clicks for you and you're like, oh, this is it. This is why we play. This is why we pursue it so goddamn long.
It's true. Mm. It's so true. That's really fascinating. You came in kind of via Rogue Trader. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Just in that, like you said, the it's more of a short form game, right? It's more tactics and you're milling through characters pretty quickly.
Yep.
What I think we've already answered the question, but what part of role playing do you say you like the most? What is it?
I love, like I said before, I'll even add to it. I just love that you can quickly, it's like a found family trope, right? It's like you quickly find those who get you and you quickly find those who have like that same motivation that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the eagerness to tell a story or the eagerness to play pretend, the eagerness to be around one another. And like, especially after the panorama, having that like want slash need of wanting to have camaraderie with another person or a group of people is like so intrinsic to what a TTRPG is.
Yeah.
Cause you're playing as a group of people. You're not playing solo. You're not playing like a solo video game. You're playing as a team of people who are coming together for a common goal, goals even if like there are multiple. This is a years long campaign.
Yeah.
And like you all have focus in game. You all have stable jobs.
Right.
A good flow of income. You gain a good life playing pretend.
Yeah.
And then that bleeds into that group of friends and that bleeds into you as a person.
Yeah.
It's a big like old that. learning experience for you as just a human being.
I really love what you just said there, which was you gain a good life playing pretend. Mm. That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was awesome. I'm writing it down because I think that's for my podcast, I think that'll be the show title.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to give it.
Yeah. I like to try and find snippets that people say in the course of the interview to put it on the title. Because it helps kind of find the heart of what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool. And it is. It's true. You kind of, it's funny how you'll be playing your pretend life, right, for 4 hours a week, but it helps you sort out and get through the other however many hours of that week, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. So in a perfect game, would you say you liked character like what combination would you say is your perfect game? A lot of story and narrative and story and narrative or character interactions, what, like a whole, maybe a whole game where it's just characters interacting with each other? Do you like puzzles? Do you like tactics? Like, do you like a good fight? Like, what if you had a perfect game, could you give me an alchemy of those? Like, what percentages, or like, well, you know what I mean? Like, what combination there would you really just think would be awesome?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm a big proponent of show, not tell.
Yeah.
So okay. I feel like a lot of my moments that are make or break a campaign is just the party talking with one another, and like mm-hmm. sometimes the GM steps back and just lets them talk, because then like that's when the improv really comes out, and like you start to ramble and pause while you're talking, because now you're really thinking about it. Even like subconsciously, you're like thinking, oh, this would make a good story choice, or oh, my character's being emotional right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I take a break or a breath or a hitch with my breath. And mm-hmm. I think like if we have three pillars, I'm a big story, combat, puzzles kind of guy. Don't get me wrong, I love me a good riddle. Riddles are my puzzles. Just yeah. Puzzles are my I love riddle. Riddles are my favorite kind of puzzle.
Okay,
because it allows Christian to be a good guesser. But a lot of characters I play don't mess with riddles like that.
Yeah, right, right.
So I have to find out ways for my character to find the answer that Christian already knows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice, nice. Okay.
So like there was a puzzle for one of my for a game that was run for me. It was like a 24-hour like live stream kind of game.
Oh, wow.
And it was a mirror puzzle where like you had a big old mirror and like an empty room. But in the mirror there were objects, and like one object was missing. So like you don't turn around for it. Like you would back up slowly and then reach your hand out for it. And I'm a sucker for mirror puzzles. Like give me a mirror puzzle, I'll solve it like that. Like, and like nice. The GM thought that room was going to take us like at least a half hour, 45 minutes. But I was like, it's that.
Boom. Done. Boom.
But like, give me the right puzzle, and I'm here for the campaign. Give me the right puzzles, and I'll participate my behind off.
Okay. Okay.
But
nice.
But like complex piece puzzles where like you gotta fit like things in a pattern. I'm like,
okay.
But the gotcha. the other two pillars, storytelling and combat. I'm a big monk guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Monk
okay.
is my go-to. I know that's another question we have, I think, lined up. But
like, yeah. Yeah.
Monk is the go-to for me. Anything where I can throw hands with a dragon, a ghost, a sea serpent, anything that doesn't make sense to punch.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. Okay.
Because I'm a big martial arts martial arts movie, martial arts the sport kind of guy. So yeah. I love describing.
Yeah.
Describing how I fight.
Yeah. Do you have martial arts training? Are you in the martial arts at all?
I had a little bit of boxing training.
Okay. Okay.
Boxing was my, when I was growing up, boxing was what I pursued.
Right on. Right on. And yeah, like, I did Taekwondo for a long time, and yeah, there's something there, right? Like there's, mm-hmm. and especially if you like the Kung Fu movies and the martial arts movies, they do such a wonderful job about, and a lot of people don't think of it this way, I don't think. I think you'll understand what I'm about to say. Storytelling through combat.
Yes.
And have a good friend of mine. He was on the show last year who is, he works with stunts. He's a stunt coordinator. And that's his jam, right? Is what makes a good fight scene. Right. It's not just people going at each other, but it's how you tell a story about their characters through the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you're going along those same lines, which is totally my jam too. Like I love a good fight scene that in a role-playing game where you are able to tell a little bit more about your character because of the choices they make.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
like the story doesn't stop once the dice start rolling.
Oh no, like, not at all.
Like the fact that a lot of people don't like combat because it just feels like a numbers game means like they're missing out on telling a story through their combat.
Right.
It doesn't even have to like limit to people who play martial classes. People who play like magical classes. Tell me how you describe your spell.
Right.
Tell me how like your character panics as they run across or run away from the enemy.
Yeah.
Describe your action.
Yeah. I like to say when you miss a roll, let's say you're rolling to hit. Tell me what happens, but don't say you missed.
Exactly. Yes.
Like how do we keep the story going? How do we present it to the camera, where the audience is, the other players around the table? And on Twitch, that's a little different, of course, because you've got an actual audience,
right? Because like there's like, I know it's like 6 seconds per turn, but like you can get a lot of words out in 6 seconds,
right?
And if everyone's telling as another story in 6 seconds or the same story in 6 seconds, like you have a full book there.
Yeah
And like that's a whole like component of combat that I feel like a lot of people miss. They just go, oh, I cast this spell,
right,
next end turn. Like it's like they're I throw this punch this way, that's it, end turn. Like there's so much missed from that bleeds into the character building pillar of the characters, the storytelling pillar.
Exactly. Yeah Like, I'm with you 100% on that.
And like the storytelling as I said before, the storytelling pillar, just being able to build on a story that your GM or DM is making and not even stopping at like just trying to tell that story, but trying to tell your character's backstory or trying to tell your character's body's story or your class's story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like subclass growth, and at least in D&D, is so important for a lot of classes. Like, how do you gain that level? Like, what happens when you're able to cast those extra spells?
Right.
Like, what happens when you're able to not get poisoned anymore as a monk, or when you learn when every language in the world is now accessible to you?
Right.
What does that do to your character's mindset when they can suddenly understand everybody?
Right.
Or when your fighter gets that extra attack, or able to like get that extra attack. Just being able to tell multiple stories through multiple mechanics and seeing both the player and character grow, that's why I love TTRPGs so
much. Yeah, that's the magic, right?
Yeah,
that's the magic when you are, especially when you have, because what I have found really is at a table you only need one person to have that extra push to also all of a sudden start seeing other people adding that little bit of description, doing that little extra bit to make the narrative flow, and make the scene flow. Cause you can be in a crowd of, let's say you've got four players and three of them are, I roll, I hit, oh, I miss. Okay. Next turn. And, or I move four squares this way and I roll. Okay. I missed. Okay. Next turn.
Right.
But you get one player in there who's like, I dash across, I leap over I slide across the table and I fire my hand crossbow. And, you know, I've rolled a miss on my die. But what that means is that like, it just goes right past his shoulder and like hits the lantern and knocks the lantern to the floor. Like that changes everybody's mind. Like, oh, we can do that. I've had people at the table like, wait, can I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, please. Please, yeah, do this.
Feel free to be creative. Feel free to narrate.
Yeah.
The things you do.
Yeah.
And don't just be like, I move. Be like, just describe it. Like, how do they move? Do they knock over a table as they move? Like, what do they do?
Right.
As an action.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So you like monk, you like the martial stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular moment from a game? And feel free to take as much time describing this as you want, but is there a favorite moment in a game where it was either a miraculous success or a dismal failure, but it made sense for it to be a dismal failure, you know, like it was this
epic,
tragic ending or something like that. Have you had a moment that really you can look back now and still remember it?
I mean, this happened recently. This happened.
Yeah. Okay.
This happened last week.
Oh, okay. On the darkness.
No. This happened on Tragedy.
Okay.
Which also happened last week. My fighter, my lean and Echo Knight fighter, got an ability where they can basically say, "I'm gonna crit. I just have to roll to hit."
Okay.
And I had to confirm my crit, rather. And he didn't confirm his crit, but the cleric was a grave cleric, put on the vulnerability, channel divinity.
Oh, yeah,
So the crit damage got doubled. And I was like, this was like a barbarian's teacher. And so in my mindset, I was like, okay, if it's a barbarian's teacher, then they've got a lot of health, a lot of hit points. They should be fine. And so I do this attack, and it's the first attack of the round. And I hit for, I think, like something like 150 damage. And then I'm like, he's also a barbarian of the totem, so he should be fine. And then we look at the map, and then our DM goes, look at the map. And I look over, and he's just gone.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what happened to him? And he's like, he vaporized, dude. Like, you vaporized. And like, in my head, I'm like, no! I killed this guy's teacher who was super friendly. No! And so we had to do a little back and forth of me going, I didn't want to kill him, Serenity! Right. And like, just that whole, like, my heart was racing because I thought I killed an important NPC.
Right.
I was just like, I just want to do a cool move. I just wanted to do a cool, neat move I thought of and was really excited for. No. And like, that teaches the consequences of like, hey, if you have a glass cannon, don't point it at a person. Point it at a monster.
Right. Right. Like, be careful you point that thing.
Exactly. Be careful where you point that thing. And I'm like, okay. That gives my character a chance to learn.
Yeah.
That they are much stronger than they thought they were, but also gives that fear of, oh, they're much stronger than they thought they were.
Yeah.
Careful with that. Because
like that character growth.
Yeah.
It was a moment for the character. I was playing a dwarf. I play a dwarf, dwarf rogue, archaeologist type, spy type, and been playing him forever. And early on, we were in this adventure. The short version is that he has a pistol because we use the black powder rules and it's in the critical role world, yada, yada. Nice. And he made his save, but there was a moment where, there was a moment where he was mind controlled for a round. Mm. And then nothing really happened, but then I broke free with a saving the next round. Mm-hmm. And I had him then become incredibly paranoid about having his mind taken over, because if someone takes over his mind and he shoots one of his friends, he'll never be able to forgive himself.
Right.
And so that I just let that build and kind of create a paranoia with him, right? Mm-hmm. Like that then came out in interactions down the road, that because of a failure, right? Failing mm-hmm. forward. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing you're talking about. That's a good story. I like it. Yeah.
I've had paranoia in the same campaign. I've had that paranoia of like, I don't want to hurt anybody, specifically because for a large chunk of my, because of a fear I had during a game, because I'm playing an Echo Knight, and okay. The Echo Knight is just supposed to be like a static, stagnant, non-self-aware kind of thing. Okay. My GM goes, what if that thing was a person? What if it had its own agency? What if it had its own goals? And I learned that, and it starts to act in a not so friendly manner. It, like, my character tries not to kill on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Echo kills whoever it wants in the moment and laughs about it. And so there was a good chunk of the campaign where my character was afraid to use their subclass. So they chose not to.
Right.
And okay. So I limited myself technically for a good chunk of the campaign, specifically because my character was afraid of using.
Right.
Because he thought like every time he used it, the Echo would grow stronger in some capacity.
Okay.
And gain some more sentience and gain some more power. And he didn't know what it wanted with that power. So he didn't use it until the Echo was like, okay, here's the deal. I'm you from another timeline. And then like we went to a whole, it was like a whole like arc of me learning that.
Oh, wow.
Of a building up to that moment of like, I'm you from a timeline where you failed to save the world.
Ooh.
And now I'm stuck here with you.
Okay.
And so like he's what, like two years older than my character, and he's okay. 8 feet tall. So my character Ragnar has to wonder like what happened, like what happens in the next 2 years where this is me, or this become this, right. I become this, because the first stepping stone was he failed his mission to save a loved one. I succeeded.
Okay.
In game. I in the story, like he failed to save her. So he became darker.
Okay.
And then he grew into the echo I know now. But that's all I know. That's all I can get. Because something is locking him out from telling me the rest.
Okay. Okay.
And like just having like a subclass come alive like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Like my Serenity is, if we don't move on, I'm going to talk about Serenity for fucking ever. They're fantastic. And Oh,
it's the best. It's the best. Yeah. I have a changeling character from way back in the day that was a satyr, satyr wilder, musician, typical satyr. Mm-hmm. And there was, I'm not going to get into it, but it is a character that will remain. I haven't played Changeling in, I don't even want to go say how long it's been. Mm-hmm. But if anyone's listening and would like to run a Changeling game, please let me know. but that character is such a warm spot in my heart. I will never forget that character. And it's amazing when you have characters come alive like that. It's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of characters, tell me a little bit about your character in, without giving secrets,
mm-hmm.
but because this is going to be on Darkness over New Orleans as a special show, yes. Tell me a little bit about your character, and maybe we'll talk about maybe a little behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, sure. I am playing Gangrel, known as Maximilian Washington. And he is, as I keep saying every week, the leader of the coterie from Darkness Over New Orleans.
Okay.
He is a Golden Glove retired boxer, who retired due to circumstances that happened before he was embraced. And now he is trying to save New Orleans from an unknown threat in the bayous, while also having to deal with the politics of being a vampire. Politics, which he honestly doesn't really care about.
Right.
And he honestly despises it.
Gangrel.
As I've come to learn, Gangrel and I share a similar hatred of politics.
right. Art imitates life sometimes. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yes. Okay. One question I did want to ask. I didn't warn you about this, but with the vampire game and playing Maximilian, is this your first like horror game or darker game?
This is not my first horror game. I played a game called, it was a series called The Unicorn Hunt. Which uses the trophy RPG system, which is
I've heard of that.
It's a story where your character will die at the end. It is a guarantee that your character will meet an ill fate. And so building a character on that was interesting because like I was going to see horror and I was going to have a horrific end. I just didn't know how. And it was our GM's first time delving into horror because he was not into horror as well. And I'm not really a horror guy. I've never really been a horror guy, but I wanted to, because they're so popular in the space that I'm like, all right, I have to see what the hubbub is about.
Yeah.
And this Vampire the Masquerade is technically my first foray into vampire.
Okay.
This game is my first like step into that.
Yeah. So what do you think so far? Like, what do you think?
I like it a lot. I can see why people like it. I can see why people are fans of this system and this world. And like, having my character also play catch up helps a lot. I could have made a character who knew things, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know jack nothing. I know nothing about the world or its dangers.
That's a great move to make at that point in time, yeah, right?
Like, like, why would I? I'm going to play into that. I'm going to play into the ignorance of, I have no idea.
Yeah, lean into it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Makes it a much easier job for me as a player.
Yeah, and it's also more fun because then you get to learn in game instead of sitting around reading a bunch of books in between games, right? Yeah. Like you learn in game, and then you the character can adapt.
I get to make lots of interesting choices and mistakes, maybe, because exactly. as I learned, it was a bad idea, but I was like, I'm gonna do it anyway. I yelled at the prince. I openly threatened/not threatened the prince. Beautiful. And I watched that scene. I watched that scene in the episode. I watched Robin, who was much more experienced than I am in both the vampire and just the world in general. And I see them freaking the hell out because they're so terrified for me. Meanwhile, I got my chest all puffed up and I'm yelling and screaming in the role play because I'm in it right now. And I'm like, oh, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I should maybe like halt or pause or take a breath.
I'm in danger.
I might die at the end of this speech. I better say something. It's such a good feeling. The sense of newness I'm getting from this RPG. Mm-hmm. I'm not knowing what failure or success looks like.
Yeah.
And not trying to tailor my way towards success all the time.
Yeah.
It feels so refreshing to just.
It's so good.
Be new.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. I have come to absolutely love missed roles. I think my home game gets a little upset with me sometimes because I will be like, no, 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 I'll take that role. And they're like, oh, you have your reroll, because we have one reroll per turn and or per game. I'm like, you have your reroll, use it. I'm like, no, I don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
I want to take this one in the face because it's good drama. It's good. It's gonna help propel things forward.
A great aspect of me being new was like, I'll ask for roles or I'll ask for a combination of roles to be like, hey, can I do this instead? Mm-hmm. Can I roll this and this? And I'll see Dylan go, interesting. And I'll look the book. Or like there was one time where like it was a hunger roll and my character was upset and I went, hey, can I fail this on purpose?
Yes.
And like I watched Dylan go, I don't know. And seeing that interest and intrigue on his face.
Oh yeah.
I was like, yes, that's it right there. That's the stuff I want.
That's the back and forth, right? That's the back and forth. It's the deal making. Yes, yes. Yeah. The negotiation, the deal making, the aspect that everybody's contributing, not just sitting there with the DM or the GM telling them what's happening. Like, I get to have a negotiation. I get to play with the rules a little bit.
Exactly.
Makes for a great troop, and a great vibe, which you guys seem to have at the table. Like, you guys seem to have a really good narrative, like story vibe. It's really awesome to watch.
Thank you.
Like, you guys know when to like back out of other people's scenes and have people see, you know, like not interrupt when somebody else is having a scene. It's good to go. Good to go. It's good to see. okay. So how do you think Maximilian is fitting in with the characters around him, as well as like being new? Right, being new to the political landscape, how is he fitting in with not only the group he's with, the other players, the other characters, but also with the bigger picture?
I think because Max is like a natural born leader. He's always felt that way. Like, he always takes charge when he needs to. Okay. And so a lot of the coterie, like episode like one or two, were like, oh yeah, we're gonna follow this guy,
yeah.
And like, it's almost like a natural step in to behaving and looking to him for approval or comfort or advice. And like, there are some things he can give advice on, like everything that's non like vampire politic related, he can give advice on, and that's what they usually come to him for. And I think, like, outside of the politics world, he feels right at home corralling a bunch of people that he barely knows. And and they slowly become part of his tribe, part of his family. and he learns more about them just through their trust in him and
his
trust in them.
Which is such a dicey commodity in Vampire.
Exactly. Like which is another thing I learned, which is like, you're supposed to have secrets in Vampire. And Christian goes, but that holds so many things back. that holds me back. And I've decided I'm not going to have the secrets like that.
Nice. Okay.
In for Max, because like Max believes like that honesty. Like, yes, you can lie and you can be mad about it, but you can lie. You can do what you want, but he's going to be honest. He's going to be forthwith.
Honest vampire.
Yeah, he's going to tell you like it is. Like there are things like I didn't know that you were not supposed to tell anybody. Like I didn't know you weren't supposed to talk about your clan. I didn't know you weren't supposed to talk about when you were embraced. Like I didn't know those were important enough to hide. And so like Max didn't find those things for them to hide. He's like, okay, I'm a Gangrel and I've been embraced for 5 years. Like it's a, right. like it's a, like an AA meeting. Like I've been sober for 5 years. Like right. I didn't know that was a no-go until like Robin was like, you're not supposed to talk about that. I was like, whoopsies.
What are you doing?
I was like, huh? Oh shit. Okay. Good.
That's great. That's great.
Put that in the vault. And like, but like, I'm just acting like a character who is like, whose ignorance is his honesty.
Yes. I love it.
And just playing and people seem to trust him. Like he was able to, with that humanity, I guess I'll put it, with that humanity and being humane, he was able to get a meeting with some NPCs that like otherwise would not have let them in if he didn't show compassion, if he wasn't kind to his friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't truthful. And so being rewarded for that and then laughing in the face of people who fail because they don't have that, i.e. the prince.
Right.
Like it feels fulfilling to him both to laugh at politics and feel like my way is not wrong. My way of thinking is not incorrect. Okay. And I'm going to be stubborn because of that. And so he's stubborn about his way of life because it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The minute it stops working 100%. And like, if it gets blocked immediately, then that's when like he'll have to change and he'll have to learn that. And he'll have to learn to be a different kind of leader.
The expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Of what could happen, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
How what could happen? Like,
I love the what ifs.
Yeah, yeah, it's the best.
Because the coterie, my party members are so like supportive of me and of Max that I'm like, that's a lot of pressure to put on a person's shoulders constantly.
Welcome to leadership, right?
Exactly. Welcome to leadership. And like the expectation for him to have the way or him to have the plan, him to have the right words, that's both on him and on me as a player. Cause I, again, know nothing about the lore of this world. And the fact that the lore is alive and constantly changing and not just a stagnant, like, not like a stagnant fact, but like, because there's so many games that influence one another and the world constantly influences the cities. And like I have to constantly go, is this a choice that will affect the world state or just the party state?
Right.
And for Christian, I'm cool with being a leader type. I'm cool with like putting that pressure on because that just makes role play a little bit more exciting for me and like a little bit more dangerous. I'm like, yeah, give it to me.
I love it.
But like at the same time, I'm so terrified of when that branch snaps, or when the straw finally breaks that back,
or just how much pressure can it bend under and not break, right?
Exactly.
Like, oh wow, yeah, that's good stuff. This kind of leads me into the question. One of my favorite questions was, have you ever had a character you created surprise you in the moment of play and teach you something about yourself?
Yeah, I think both Max and Ragnar, my player for Tragedy, both have aspects of me which I needed to work out or need to work out.
Yeah,
which is for my D&D character, it's my imposter syndrome.
Okay.
And sometimes not feeling up to task for a lot of things or feeling unworthy for the things that I have done and like have been congratulated for. I always feel like I could have done better, or I could have done a little bit more and it would have wowed even more. But at the same time, I've wowed them, but I just don't hear those wows. And it's like, I've had to learn to like listen a little harder.
Yeah.
And listen a little deeper and like hear, not just listen to the words of my peers going, this is good, you're doing a good job, and not taking that and translating it to, but you could have done better.
Right.
And then from Max, it's learning that you're not your predecessor. You're not the person who taught you. You are a combination of so much more. And you're going to learn that, like, you don't just have one teacher in life. You have an infinite amount. Everything teaches you in the moment.
Yeah.
And like, you have to remember every lesson. Every lesson might not be important in the now, but it will be important someday. And it's important to remember those words or that action. And just don't be so hard if you miss it the first time or the second time or the third time. You'll get it. It'll click eventually.
Nice.
And so like, those are two like aspects of my character that like bleed into myself and vice versa.
Nice. I love it. I have been, and I've talked about this on other shows, but there have been many characters that have come and gone that I've made just like, I'm going to make this character. I think it'll be cool. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through, you know, hindsight's 2020, and I look back, I'm like, oh, that's mm-hmm. why I made that character. That's what I needed to work out. That's what I was fiddling with in my subconscious. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated about how that can come out in characters, especially in good, like what we're calling good troop play, mm-hmm. good character interaction. So thank you for that. That's really cool.
Thanks.
So GMing, let's talk about GMing. I also want to talk about, and kind of segue into, or let me start over. So the stand-up comedian aspect, right? Because that is mm-hmm. kind of theater,
mm-hmm.
and there is improv there, right? Like you have a history of improv, you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of pressure, right? Like mm-hmm. a lot of pressure that a typical person coming to a TTRPG may not bring to the table, to be on a stage, have everyone looking at them. And not only are you performing, but you have to make people laugh.
Yeah.
Right. And you have mm-hmm. you have to entertain them. You talked about GMing and GMing on Twitch. How do you find that interlaces, or are there things you can think of that how they interlace and how that fits into your GMing style?
I feel like for stand-up comedy, like you're performing for an audience, and you're sometimes you single out a person or a couple people in that audience to tell a few jokes and then move on with your set. But for telling a story for the TTRPG, it's only six people or four people or five people in that audience. And you want to be able to focus on each one a little at a time so that everyone feels included and everyone feels special in their own way for the character they build. And so like, it's routine that like focuses on individuals, and then you bring mm-hmm. them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell a story with them, and then sometimes they break apart, and then like, you have to keep like compartmentalizing your storytelling,
right?
And then it all comes together eventually, and like you combine all those puzzle pieces, and the story becomes even grander,
yeah.
And the jokes become even funnier because everyone is riffing off of everybody, and even the GM has a chance to joke with the world state. Like there, I GM'd a Power Rangers game last year, and so during our session zero, we're on a college campus. During our session zero, I'm having the kids go through a walking tour of the campus.
Okay.
And they run into like a group of mimes, and one of the characters like doesn't understand how mimes work. So I wrote that down. I was like, okay, I'll use that later for something. And during the carnival, during the actual game, they succeed, like highly succeed a check, like they crit. I think they crit it, and because of that crit, they hit one of the mimes, and like I was like, I made it a huge like dramatic like moment, like, is this like a bad guy? No, it's just a group of mimes. And like I rewarded their personal story from session zero to the main game, and the audience beyond, the Twitch audience, has no idea why right. it's so funny right. to us as the player and the GM. But like I'm seeing my players have an absolute blast this moment because I recalled it. I brought it back because they had such fun with it last time. And I think just having a back and forth,
yeah,
personal. And then having the characters have their own back and forths, and just like juggling all of that makes for a fantastic routine.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Wow. Well said. Well done. Awesome. I love it. So you do run a game on Twitch. You still run the game, right?
No, I do not run. It was a two shot. It was my first foray. And I was like, this is good for my year. Because I'm still not used to being in charge of telling a story. Like I'm a player leader. On Darkness, on Tanola, but like at the same time, I'm someone who over prepares in their own head and overcompensates, and like I'm gonna probably get back into GMing. I'm gonna try to GM like two or three projects this year, and see if like a different system clicks for me better. Because maybe it'll become something bigger. Who knows? Right. If I can find the time, that's another aspect. That should be another pillar of RPGs. Scheduling. Oh. Time. Yeah. And if I can find the time, maybe I can make it into something much longer, because I love the idea of like a two shot or a three shot or even a six shot. Mm-hmm. Like just like having a contained story within six episodes. I feel like I could do that, because like in my mind, running a campaign is so much information that my brain can't take it. But having like a six to like maybe eight. I'm increasing it. I'm talking about it.
12, 22.
Exactly. But like having like a short form campaign where I know there's an end.
Right.
I know that there's an end, and I know what that end is. Mm-hmm. And I find the right system for it. I'm sure I could have like a blast doing it.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, cause I had a blast running it with my friends with an IP that I adore. I love the IP I chose for the two shot. And learning that system, making videos about that system to help my friends learn it. That was the most fun I think I had making a video.
Oh, wow. So you made videos, like instruction videos? Like,
yeah, I made a tutorial on how the system works itself.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I went down on how to make a character in the first place.
Okay.
And I just broke down a large chunk of the book. And it was mainly made for my friends, but I posted it on YouTube and it got a lot of attention because a lot of people were like, this is a great guide. This guide is a little better than the Renegade one. And I was like, cool, have fun.
Yeah.
It's free. And
that's awesome. That's what gets attention though, right? Like that's what you were saying about trying to like push forward into this further over the next year. Like that's the type of stuff that, When the fan base is like, hey, this is better than what the company put out, then the company's like, who is this person?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. I found with gaming or with running games, I used to be really into like long form sandbox, just one week after the next, and we just keep going. And what I have found I've segued into is exactly what you're talking about, which is we're going to keep the same game world. We're going to keep the same characters, but we're going to tell it in chapters. Right. So we're going to do like a three shot. We're going to do a five shot, and we're going to do five games because scheduling, it's very hard to get back in the day when I had all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. I could play every week, no problem. But then if you, as a DM and our GM and the time that it takes, those compartmentalized, those that chapter form. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's still a lot of time.
Yeah.
But it's because then you can say, okay, it was going to be a three shot, but we're going to make it a four shot. But at the end of game four, we're going to pause, and then we may not play again for two or three weeks, but then I'll give me time to get the next few episodes done. So it's definitely, I think that form of what you're talking about is definitely, easier on the GM
mm-hmm.
to put all that together, especially yeah. in this day and age with yeah, exactly. so much going on. So yeah. how many games are you in now? You are in, of course, Darkness Over New Orleans. And you said, mm-hmm. how many games are you in right now on Twitch?
I'm in Darkness Over New Orleans. I mean, yeah. Tragedy of Theologian. I'm going to be in a short, like a six or five part series on, what channel is it going to be on? On Mimics and Misfits channel.
Okay.
That's going to be like a level 15 to 20 kind of long shot.
Cool.
That's going to happen. They're in the works right now. I'm probably going to be on Queen's Court Games playing Call of Cthulhu's Harlem Unbound supplement, which is the 1920s, 40s, like New York based
yeah.
Call of Cthulhu setting.
Right.
So that's in the works right now. I don't have a date for that, but for right now I am in two solid campaigns.
Nice. Okay. Have you played Call of Cthulhu?
I have not.
Oh.
I have not played Call of Cthulhu.
You're in for a treat.
I'm going through each tenet of horror right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, get Vampire out of the way, go into Cthulhu and some insanity. It'll be great.
I went from like Blair Witch kind of evils. Vampires, and I'm gonna go cosmic. And I'm branching out, and soon I'll be in space. I'll be up there, and
nice,
and like, oh man, no one can hear me scream.
it's so good. I love a good horror game. And it only because it's right up there. I say the two kind of toughest games to run is comedy and horror.
Mm.
Like if you're trying to run a comedy game consistently, that's lighthearted and funny, like Discworld, if you know what that is, with Terry yeah. Pratchett's books, yes. like that sort of lighthearted satire.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to do every week, but so is horror. Like mm-hmm. to keep that angst going is just as much as trying to keep the humor going.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I think you'll enjoy Call of Cthulhu. I look forward to hearing about that one.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm gonna be doing a lot of that's nervous laughter.
Oh no!
As I roll and inevitably fail.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But you're already set up for that because you already have a really good aspect of failing forward. Like, okay, I missed the roll. This is what happens and what yeah. drives the plot forward. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's when I think Call of Cthulhu and good horror games like that really shine is when somebody's mm-hmm. willing to be like, missed the roll. I guess I lose my arm.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
And yeah. like being comfortable with failure is like a tenet with horror games specifically. I
yeah.
Like
yeah.
being okay with it. Because horror protagonists fail all the time. And oh, yeah. like, so like having to get in that mindset of, okay, failure just means failing upward, not failing downward.
Yes. Correct.
Not yeah. failing immediately dead. Dead yeah. maybe soon, but not dead now.
Not dead yet.
Not dead yet.
Awesome. Okay. That's all I've got. That's the questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been great. I'm trying to get all of the links to your social medias and stuff in the show notes for my podcast.
I can give you the link tree if you need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just send it over to Discord
and
I'll make sure that gets on the show notes for sure. And thanks so much.
Thank you
for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So where can people find you? Real quick, I mean, I'll put the notes in the show notes, but where can people find you on social media?
I'm going to give my whole spiel.
Yeah, go for it.
Hey, everybody. My name is Christian, a.k.a. Fluffy Goomba, on several socials, mainly on TikTok, but you can also find me on Twitch on Thursdays on Roll for Dylan. That's R-O-L-L, number 4, D-Y-L-A-N, for Vampire the Masquerades, Darkness Over New Orleans, where I get to play a inexperienced leader of a Gangrel. And on Sundays, you can find me on Total Party Kiss at 8 p.m. EST, playing Ragnar of the Ironclaw Pride in Tragedy of Theologian, where I play a lean-in Echo Knight fighter. We just finished a tournament arc, and we went to rest in our hotel, and the BBEG for that arc is sitting on my bed.
Cliffhanger.
And of course, you can find me on Twitch several days playing several games with several wonderful people. You can and I play a variety of games. Like there's no like consistency with what games I play on that channel.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Thanks, Christian. This was a joy.
This is an absolute awesome. Delight. Thank you yeah. for having me.
Absolutely, my man. Absolutely. I'll see you on Thursdays.
See you on Thursdays.
All right. Okay, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Christian. I really enjoyed talking with him and having that time. There's more to come. I have 3 more interviews from that series of the cast of Darkness Over New Orleans. Those will pretty much be coming out next. We'll be out in 2 weeks, and I hope you can look forward to that one. And yeah, it was really great. I want to thank Christian for taking the time to come on the show and for a great interview. It was wonderful. And that's going to be our show again. Please check out our Twitch stream, which is going to be every Wednesday. You can catch the videos on demand on our YouTube channel. All those links will be down in the show notes. If you're looking for it, you can look, just type in Natural Geekery in the search bar of either YouTube or Twitch, and we should come up. Easy to find. You can contact us on any of our social medias as well. If you're interested in doing an interview, or if, let's say, you're a creator of a game, or you have a Twitch stream and you want to talk about the game or have your cast come on, or I'll interview all of you at once if you want. That'd be kind of fun. Contact me, and we will get you on the show. It'd be great. You can catch more of what we do on our Discord. The link is down in the show notes. It's also usually posted on my Twitter. You can join us on our Discord. It's free to join. Come join the community and stay up to date with what's happening with the show. If you want to support us in a more tangible way, please check out our Patreon, which is, again, Patreon, Natural Geekery, link in the show notes, blah, blah, blah. our patrons are incredibly important to us, and I cannot thank them enough for doing what they do. To that end, I want to thank our Dragon Guard members of our Patreon. That's Crippled Ninja, Scott Hippensteel, and Patrick Kelly. Thank you so much for your monthly assistance with that. It helps cover all sorts of just related fees that go with making a podcast and hosting the podcast and all of that. So thanks so much. If you join our Patreon, you can get extra shows. The rules and the playbooks for our Powered by the Apocalypse game hack, our fantasy game hack, those will be posted on our Patreon as well as we get them cleaned up and ready for publication. Patrons will get them first, and they will stay on the Patreon in perpetuity. And any updates and changes also will go there as well. Now that we're back up and running, we have a host of really cool things coming for our Patreon. So yeah, if you want to support us, that's a great way to do so. And if not, come join us on Discord. That's fine too. You can also reach us on our Gmail, naturalgeekery@gmail.com, and any of our normal social media channels. We look forward to hearing from you. Next show, like I said, will be another interview show. And yeah, that's it. I hope you're having a great spring. And just remember, you're needed out there. Keep shining, everybody. Bye-bye.